Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Variant Cast. As we get into this episode, I'm joined here with my host, a man that has never found a hotel shower that he did not like, unless it was run by Trent. How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. Excited to talk about some DC casting.
So if you didn't get the hotel shower thing, it's a James Gunn tweet. It's only half of the James Gunn tweet, but it's there. And we're going to be talking some James Gunn, DC cinematic, and you know, we're going to be laughing. Everyone says laughter is the best medicine, and that's why I laugh at people with AIDS.
insensitive time. Cancel them.
I'm sorry, it was June 10th, 2008, 2:46 p.m. when James Gunn decided to crank out that banger, which, you know, he kind of snapped. So we'll go ahead and move on. We'll see if he can kind of snap with this upcoming DC Universe slate that is supposed to be beginning this year with Creature Commandos or late this year.
Yep, and I think coming out this year is like an animated series. It's going to be like the start of it, but then the first like official movie is going to be next year with Superman Legacy.
So the Superman Legacy cast photo just came out, right?
Yeah, so I think they had their first table read, and so we got a couple little nuggets of news along in there. And it was we got the reveal of the Superman logo that's going to be on his chest. It's very reminiscent of the Kingdom Come Superman, who for those who aren't familiar, Kingdom Come is like, I think he's like the ultimate version of Superman. So there was like there's a line of DC where it was like all of the heroes, like they're in like a world that's fully fleshed out with heroes, and like they are like what people like think of them as. Like Superman is this like almighty being who's like literally done, it's like everything that I think it takes place like basically at the end of their career. So they're like kind of older, they're wiser, they're more like weathered heroes. And I think what James Gunn has said before is that like he wants to like flesh out, he wants to kind of like use that as like, all right, we want to get there. Like we want to make our story get to that point. So we got a cast photo that has like all of the members of the Justice League that they announced, including like Nathan Fillion as Green Lantern. And we also got a picture of the first picture of bald Nicholas Holt, who's playing Lex. And the size comparison between Lex and Superman in the picture. Love to see that. I think that's a great casting, and I'm excited to see how they portray the characters.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it now. Looks like it was tweeted out through or posted through. Is this Threads? I'm guessing it's Threads.
Probably, yeah.
It just looks like an off-brand Twitter, which it's kind of funny how we came full circle. Twitter was like the liberal platform, and there used to be this like conservative truth social, it was called. And you would always see screenshots from like these problematic figures. It's always like a truth social screenshot. And now it's the other way around, where you'll see a screenshot will be from like a liberal, and it's like, oh, okay, that's Threads, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm super excited about this movie. I've never been excited about a Superman project ever. I was kind of just thinking about it because I watched over the week, I watched the live action Scooby-Doo movies, and you get to see James Gunn's name from the first one to the second one get a whole lot bigger in terms of like in the, you know, credentials. So it's kind of funny just seeing where he came from in the 2000s with the Scooby-Doo movies, which I think are iconic for a lot of our generation. And now is taking over one of the biggest franchises in the world. It's kind of surreal because this guy was making super less than or around 10 years ago. And now we're here. So,
yeah. And it seemed like back in 2016, 2017, it really seemed like he was going to be like the next up, as in like he knows how to build out a world. He knows how to like tell a story over the course of several movies, and not only makes them like coherent, but also like makes each one different and makes one like brings a little bit of something different to each one. And I think that's what's really great about James Gunn's movies. But yeah, when it was announced that he was taking over DC, like I couldn't have not have been happier, because like it really seems like he's always talked about how much he loves like specifically comic book characters, and he said he's always been a DC guy, and he said that or it just seems like it's like a perfect fit for him, and everything that he's said in terms of like how they're gonna build out the story, like having an interconnected story, like they're already casting like minor roles, which some people have a problem with. And I know that that was a big thing with the older DC universe, was like Zack Snyder basically cast like everybody, like the people who made Aquaman didn't have a say, because they already cast Jason Momoa. Like they like he cast Gal Gadot and Ezra Miller and all of those, and like set the tone for the universe going forward. And that seems to be a little bit of what James Gunn is doing by casting other roles, but he doesn't seem to. I guess we'll see. We haven't had any projects, but I guess it wouldn't be the worst if there was a little bit of James Gunn like tint to all the movies, in the same way that there was a Zack Snyder tint to the DC universe. You know.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what you come to expect at this point. He's been given an unprecedented amount of power. It seems like even Kevin Feige had to slowly chip away inside of Marvel to now have the power that he has. Yeah. And James Gunn was kind of just handed it. Now, granted, he did make the best DCU movie. Let's be honest here. And he has shown to be a very good director. And a lot of people like to point out that, the Suicide Squad movie didn't do that well box office wise, but there's the context of like the whole pandemic. Theaters were not nearly where they are now or where they were before, and also it's a movie titled The Suicide Squad coming out after a movie that was notorious for being awful. Yeah. It was confusing having that, like, it wasn't going to do well with audiences, and it still did pretty well, all things considered. And I think that's his effect. He brings a humanity to these things, and that's what you're hoping. Now, there is the concern. A lot of people do criticize him using his friends in all these projects. And now that he has unprecedented power, will the nepotism really get maximized? But here's the thing is, Hollywood is all about nepotism. It's all nepotism. It's not like nepotism is a new thing that James Gunn invented by casting his wife and stuff. It's not new.
Yeah.
And it's not bad unless the movies are bad, simply. Yeah. Nepotism is good if the movie is good. So yeah. That's really what it will be judged on. Real quick, I'll go through some of the projects that have been announced for this universe. So obviously the first movie, really kicking it off. I don't think Creature Commandos is really the kickoff. I think that's going to be more of a, like, hey, we want to have a backlog for people that when they go watch Superman Legacy, they're like, oh, I'm hooked on this universe. I also want to go watch what else is here. I can go watch Creature Commandos. I'm sure it'll have its audience when it comes out, but I think they are hoping it gets that second flood after people see Superman.
Yeah.
Just judging by the release strategy, because generally the release strategy wouldn't make sense to drop the TV show before the big like Superman movie as your like kickoff to the universe. But I don't think it's necessarily the big kickoff. I think it's more we want to have content out for people to watch when they want to get invested in our universe. So The only one with a confirmed release date is Superman Legacy, with a July 11th, 2025 smack dab in blockbuster season, written and directed by James Gunn. They are getting away from the word phase. It is chapters, and this is chapter one, Gods and Monsters. So sounds like he has an idea laid out of where he's going with this, and it'll be interesting to kind of see what Gods and Monsters means and why he decided he wanted to go with this one first and foremost.
Yeah.
Then followed by The Authority. I don't know if that's the next film. None of these have release dates, so they could all be shuffled around. There's only two other ones with a director. The Brave and the Bold, which is a
Batman and Robin movie.
Right, right. Okay.
Based off of like the animated show by the same name. But yeah, so this is supposedly going to have like a really young Robin in it, and they're going to find a new Batman, which will be interesting, especially since there's going to be like three separate Batman universes going on at once. Cause you got the DCU, you got the Batman, and you got the Joker 2 coming out.
Yeah. But there's no Batman in that universe, is there?
I mean, Bruce Wayne was in the first one, but there's no Batman yet.
Yeah. It'll be interesting if they ever do anything with that. I hope not, because it doesn't seem like that universe is really built for that. But, you know.
Yeah.
Then they have Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. So you get a Superman and a Supergirl for film in the first five films of the new DCU. And then Swamp Thing. All right. And then the next film after that is The Authority, which I'm not super familiar with. What can you tell us about The Authority, Trent?
Yeah, so The Authority, I'm pretty sure, is just like essentially like a Thunderbolts type team of like anti-heroes. And they got some energy base people, they got some street level people, but it seems like it didn't debut that long ago. It seems like there was another company that made that, and then DC bought it. Made it into their DC canon, and it seems like it looks like Superman at one point, like the leader of the team or something. So I don't know. I'm not too familiar with it either, but yeah, it should be interesting.
This is some classic James Gunn here, taking a random name and probably gonna be a success. I know a lot of people are probably looking at this concerned about the box office, but I think there's something about a new IP, and I think there's something to be said about like not just going Green Lantern, you know, because I think he understands he needs to earn that. You can't do another Aquaman right now. You can't do another Wonder Woman. So you do have to do something different. And sure, he could have done Martian Manhunter, someone a bit more recognizable than The Authority, but
yeah,
he loves these team-up movies because he gets to make six characters and introduce all of them,
yeah,
and potentially have this, you know, big team that can break out and do all this different stuff. It's classic James Gunn in terms of storytelling, and I'm sure there'll be a band of misfits that will talk in a circle at some point. It'll be reminiscent of both the Suicide Squad and Guardians of the Galaxy in that sense, I'm sure. But he does it in a good way. So I'd expect, out of all the movies, this is the one I think I look at and I'm like, okay, that or Brave and the Bold. I've never been a Superman guy. I'm excited for it, but I've never been a Superman guy. I know, I'm just saying. I'm not as excited about that one because of that reason. It does have a director, The Brave and the Bold. It's Andy,
the dude who made The Flash. Aren't you excited about that, Ty?
The Flash? Yep. Oh no. Okay, so I'm retracting my statement. I'm a big Superman guy. Love Superman. No, he also made It, right?
Yeah, yeah. he also did make It. And
so
he's a fine director.
I think The Flash was was destined to fail.
Yeah. This was rewritten like 20 times.
But is there maybe a... They haven't cast Batman, right?
No. People are wanting the dude from Reacher to do it. The dude who played Thad Castle in Blue Mountain State.
What about Bill Skarsgård? Has that been brought up?
For Batman?
Yeah.
I could see him as a Joker.
But
Bill Skarsgård, he's a skinny guy. He can't play Batman.
What, you think they don't got supplements these days, dude?
Like, but he's like a tall, lengthy guy. I don't think
you think Batman can't be 6'4", 225? I think Batman could be 6'4", 225, personally.
I could definitely see him being like a scarecrow or a Joker.
But obviously just the connection with it there.
Yeah.
And the director. I could see him just doing anything. So shout out Bill Skarsgård. I'm interested. But I do think they're probably going to take the route of not cast many big name actors, just because I think we've talked about it before. He wants same actors in animation, video games, doing all the voice acting, and the movies and TV shows all to be the same actors. Yeah. Which, if he's serious about that, it's definitely in the contracts. And if it's in the contracts, that's expensive. So
yeah,
there's a reason it's going to be a lot of his friends. There's a reason it's going to be a lot of, you know, lesser named actors. Maybe I should send in an audition. You know, I've been pitching my booster gold. You know, I can put on some muscle. You know, I could get those supplements, James, and we'll get going on that. But yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of actors we don't know. Like Batman is probably someone we've never heard of. Robin is definitely someone we've never heard of. Mm-hmm. So, hey, we'll start the Jeremy Allen White for Batman now. Yeah. He'll be the greatest Bruce Wayne ever. And I think the one movie we haven't really talked about, though, is Swamp Thing, which also has a director.
Yeah, by the Logan director. So yeah, James Mangold. I think he directed the last Indiana Jones movie, too. But
which very well regarded. And the Wolverine.
Yeah. And the Wolverine, or just Logan? Damn, I didn't know he directed the Wolverine, too. But people love Logan, and when he was announced to be in talks to do a Swamp Thing movie, people seemed to be really excited about it.
I didn't realize the Wolverine. I for context, if anyone's ever confused as to why I just have a random gap in knowledge, I didn't really watch movies from the ages of like 10 to 14, and it's why honestly there's a big MCU influence in this show, regardless, no matter what. Those movies got me back into movies in general, but I am just now finding out that the Wolverine and X-Men Origins Wolverine are two different movies. That's a shock for me, because they came out 4 years apart.
Yeah. Well, they were originally going to do other X-Men origin movies. They're like we're gonna do an X-Men Origins Charles, an X-Men Origins Magneto, but then they're like,
yeah,
that the first one just tanked, and they're like, yeah, we cannot do another one of these.
There were two X, or there were two Wolverine movies,
three
while Obama include
Logan. Oh yeah, well,
while Obama was in office. It's crazy. Gotta check when Logan released. It was in March, so Obama was leaving office. So basically every movie can be contained inside of Obama's presidency. So more you know. See if that crazy factors into the upcoming Deadpool and Wolverine at all.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
So that's all they got coming up for movies. In terms of TV shows, there is obviously Creature Commandos. They're going to be doing a Waller series, which is kind of strange because it's going to be following the events of Waller after Peacemaker, which is in a different universe, but it's the same universe. I think it's the same universe.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be pretty clear about
it. They're going to be like Peacemaker, the same events happen in both universes. So you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. It happens in every universe. Come on. Lanterns is a Hal Jordan, John Stewart thing. It's going to be two Lanterns doing stuff. They're going to be doing like space copy things. It says it's a show. I don't know if it's live action or animated.
Probably a live action.
You think with all the space stuff?
I think so. Was one announced back in 2019. They were in development of a Green Lantern series, and they canceled that when James Gunn came aboard. And so I think it'll be live action. And I think we're due for another live action Green Lantern movie.
I think so. That'd be a TV show though. So
a TV show, yeah. I mean, even better because like give me like a True Detective style like Green Lantern series. That would be sick.
And this might be strategic. Maybe a Green Lantern movie would never do well at the box office, and perception of the franchise like outside of the superhero like community. Maybe that's just not very good. They focus grouped it and they're like, hey, this is not going to do well. If we make another movie, we could do a TV show though and kind of get stock back in the character to potentially do a movie down the road, you know?
Yeah.
And then we get a political drama called Paradise Lost about the scheming and power struggles of the all-female island Themyscira. Before the birth of Wonder Woman.
Game of Thrones style show.
Game of Thrones political drama on this Amazonian island. It sounds kind of fire.
It does. As long as it's got a good story, you know? Like
it's wild because like these things all just sounded so normal when he was announcing them in the YouTube video. And then I'm like actually thinking about these things happening, and that sounds insane.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine just turning that on and watching. Like I can't picture that in my mind.
So now I wonder here, it takes place before the birth of Wonder Woman. So I wonder if it's going to be like set in the 90s or Wonder Woman's like this omnipotent being.
Wonder Woman was so handcrafted by like Zeus. So
right, so she's thousands of years old.
So it's gonna be like ancient. It's gonna be like ancient times.
So society hasn't really developed. So this is gods and monsters. Maybe,
but Themyscira is also just like secluded itself. If you've watched Wonder Woman, like it doesn't have any access to the outside world, and they have no idea. Even in the modern world, they have like no idea like what's happening in that. I'm sure that they do have an idea of what's happening.
Like Zeus does, yeah.
But like the people, like all the women that live on Themyscira, they just like live secluded there, and they just vibe.
Yeah, but they do interact with gods. So and the gods they be godding around. So it's gods and monsters. I think we'll probably get a Zeus or a Hades doing stuff. I'd be surprised if it's actually like an all female show. That's just wild. We haven't seen that ever before.
There's no men are banned on Themyscira.
Which I'm excited for the political discourse when the show comes out.
Oh yeah.
of just any of that. And then we have Booster Gold, which I am publicly petitioning to played the lead role of Booster Gold. So James, you have my contact info. I'm really excited for Booster Gold though. Out of all of these projects, that's like the number one. I hope James Gunn has plenty of involvement, because other than Suicide Squad, Peacemaker, there's one thing like I wanted to see him keep doing, and if he was in DC, I wanted to see Booster Gold. So I'm really excited to see that come through.
Yeah.
And then Peacemaker season 2, and then an untitled Arkham series. So Should be interesting. Is that by Matt Reeves?
Yeah, so it's by the dude who made the Batman, but it was originally going to take place in the Batman universe, but I think that they're developing it for James Gunn's universe. So it's going to be set in the DCU, made by the dude who made the Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird. That is very, very weird. But, you know, I'm sure they know what they're doing, right?
Yeah. Speaking of other universes, maybe blending in with DC, there was a headline this week that the Into the Spider-Verse directors pitched a Batman Beyond series to DC. And apparently at the beginning of the pitch, they're like, yeah, sorry, we're not interested. But after they left, apparently the executives were like, it turned into a maybe. So they're like, maybe we'll consider doing this, because the pitch apparently was just so good. There was some artwork that was released of this, and it looks pretty fucking sweet. I'll send it to you if I could find it.
Yeah.
Nope.
That I would not gonna be able to. I mean, I'd love that. Just Batman Beyond in general, like seeing anything from that, I guess, story arc or time period. Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's very much
fire.
But it's very much in the style of Into the Spider-Verse. And I think that it would be super cool, because it's very similar vibe. I think that Miles is like a almost like a very similar character to Terry McGinnis, because he like is kind of a more techie, kind of more like updated version of the character. And I think that could work really cool in like an animated, like Into the Spider-Verse style.
Yeah, I was kind of, when it was first coming out with the news, I was kind of pitching just do Batman Beyond, since we've done so many different Batman stories already. That just doing the old Batman Beyond would make some sense. I thought that's what they were maybe going to do with old Batman in the DCEU Snyderverse thing. And maybe they would have if they had any direction. I think overall, from what I've seen, looks like a solid slate. I'm interested. If all of these things get made, then that's a miracle, honestly. It's not every day that you see one of these big announcement slates where they announce 10 plus projects and all of them get made. It just doesn't happen. If you go back to all the old MCU presentations, there's things like The Eternals or
Inhumans,
that's the one I was thinking of. You'll see those on the slate that eventually got moved around or whatever. And that's just kind of the nature of the beast. Things are going to change. They did a lot of market research to come up with this slate, but the market, just in the 1 year since this has been announced, the market has completely changed. And I thought what you were talking about, blending universes and different things, like the biggest actor in this is the Superman actor, and Henry Cavill was obviously the last Superman, and there was a lot of feelings between the fans and James Gunn on this. Apparently there's, you know, just a lot of beef around James Gunn and Henry Cavill, or at least it's talked about. I don't think there is actually that beef, but Henry like made that video talking about how he was going to come back as Superman. Oh my God, that's one of the saddest videos ever, looking back at it now. I'm not one of the people that like to lick Henry Cavill's feet because he plays PC games, but like, dude is like a nice, genuine guy. Yeah. And it does suck, because being Superman, you know, was like a dream for him, and he never got the opportunity to probably be the Superman that he wanted to be, like on screen, because, you know, half of his time he's like evil or something. So that does really suck for him, but I'm sure he's landing on his feet, and apparently in talks with Marvel apparently has accepted, according to a popular leak aggregator. I don't know. My Time to Shine, hello. Or no, Can We Get Some Toast? They're the same person. They have to be.
I think one's the at and one's like the username. Whatever.
No, they're two different accounts.
Oh, there are two different people?
Yeah, yeah. but My Time to Shine, hello, says he was offered something and he accepted. This was quoting a tweet saying, talking about him playing Dr. Doom. Obviously, with the timing of this, if this is true, it would insinuate that it is something for the Fantastic Four. But, you know, it could be Silver Surfer. I know there was rumors that that was going to be a role they were going to cast a woman in. I don't think that's necessarily was locked in. That was just a rumor. So definitely still possible, given just, you know, the characters you would cast for Fantastic Four. I can only think of
Henry Cavill as Mole Man. Give it to me.
Mole Man. I mean, sure, why not? yeah, I think that probably gonna be Dr. Doom. Like, does the ages make sense?
Yeah.
Like, Henry Cavill being the foil to Pedro Pascal makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I did see that Ben Mendelsohn, he played Talos in Captain Marvel, and he was in Rogue One and other things. But he's like, I'd give an arm and a leg to play Doctor Doom.
Oh, and he would crush it.
He'd crush it.
That's tough, but yeah, there's no way they'd do that. He's been so prominent.
I know. I would allow it though, like. He's gonna show his face for like three scenes and then he's gonna wear a mask the whole time, you know?
It's true. He could have Henry Cavill as his face and then he dies. True. And
that would be awesome.
Ben Mendelsohn. Let's do it. I imagine if it is Henry Cavill as Doom though, you're gonna see his face.
Yeah,
just can't.
There's a point in the comics where he like gets magic or something and then just like snaps his fingers and he just looks like a normal human again. I guarantee you that's what they're gonna do if it's Henry Cavill, because it's like the thing where Spider-Man never wears his mask anymore. It's like it's like everybody knows who Peter is because like they have to show Tom Holland's face because people want to see that, you know?
No, that's the interesting thing with this stuff, and I mean, you know, I can't blame him. If I was paying that paycheck for Henry Cavill, I'd probably want it to be, you know.
Yeah. How are you going to make Dr. Doom thirst traps if you can't see Henry Cavill's face?
That's facts. That's facts. I need a scene of him in like his chamber, like getting dressed for some reason.
Holding his mask maybe in front of his.
Maybe he's pouring some sort of oil on himself to like lube up his face. I don't know. I think, well, there's going to be a thirst trap. There's always a thirst trap. It's Marvel. It's an attractive guy. There's going to be a thirst trap. That's just the nature of the beast. But, I mean, another nature of the beast is public perception. And Marvel is struggling with public perception right now. And they're shuffling around their slate trying to figure out what to do, how to combat this... newer generation thinking they're corny and he's right behind me, isn't he, and all that great stuff. They're trying to flip that on its head, and one thing that they've done to do this is they've killed the Kang storyline, which you've talked about has made Quantumania the most worthless film in the MCU at this point, because that was really the setup for it, and we didn't get enough Ant-Man stuff to really justify that movie, which is unfortunate, but nature of the beast, as I was saying. And looking at their, you know, upcoming slate, they got Wolverine and Deadpool, and I think that kind of determines everything. If that stuff is good, I think you're going to see more Fox Marvel meshing. They're gonna be like, hey, we put Professor Xavier with Iron Man. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Don't you want to see that? Hey, come watch the Nightcrawler and War Machine movie. It's here.
You know that they're gonna try to do an X-Men versus Avengers movie.
Yeah.
It's always the worst events in the comics. Because the Civil War kind of made sense, why they were fighting each other, but anytime you have heroes fighting against each other, it's just kind of all right, what are we doing here?
Yeah, that's true. I think that's probably what they'll do. They'll probably have some, misunderstanding where both universes blame the other universe.
Both Charles and Tony Stark's mother is both named Martha.
That's kind of how Civil War ends, which is funny. It's kind of like a Martha scene in and of itself.
Yeah.
But it's like a well done Martha scene. It's funny because those came out around the same time. And you have one that wild. It's wild how that works. I'm hoping for them. I think they have a setup. There was a headline that came out as well that the Spider-Man 4, behind the scenes, has been an absolute train wreck, and we've been getting a lot of quotes, I'm guessing out of Marvel's camp and Sony's camp, about how Sony wants a certain timeline. They want to get this pushed out. They want to have 4 or 5 in the next 5-6 years, and Marvel's yo, we're trying to slow down. We're not trying to push out a bunch of content. But Sony's yo, this is the only way we make money.
Yeah. Spider-Man is our money.
Spider-Man is Sony Pictures at this point.
Yeah.
There's no hiding it. There's no emoji movie to save you now. It is your feet to the fire, and Tom Holland is the only man that could save you. And unfortunately for them, they have to go through Big Kev. Big baseball cap Kev, and he's not having any of it, and there's some turmoil there. I don't know if it's anything to halt the movie's production. I guarantee it's not, considering Sony can't afford that, but at least something to note if the movie comes out being kind of a mess.
Yeah, I just hope that just get a good Spider-Man movie that isn't trying to converge all of the Sony movies into trying to fight Tom Holland. Cause they're trying to backdoor that somehow. They're Kevin Feige's reading screens. He's like, wait, it says that Morbius shows up right here. They're like, oh yeah, don't worry about that.
Yeah. No, it's Morbin time. Kids love it. They'll go crazy. They'll be, big theater reaction. That's what you want. What? Butts in seats.
Yeah. He's like, why is there just a random character named Michael in the script? And he's like, oh, that's just a new character that we added. Don't worry about it. We already cast somebody. But
don't worry. Wait. And what's this here? It says that Michael Keaton shows up as Michael Keaton looking for his vulture suit. I don't understand what's happening. Speaking of not understanding what's happening, Marvel Studios, this is just another headline that is coming out. Marvel Studios is still searching for characters and actors who can carry its universe forward after the exits of Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans. And I don't know what this headline actually means. Maybe Kevin Feige and all the decision-making suits were just in a boardroom and he frustratingly threw his hat on the ground, or maybe he did one of these where he pulls it down onto his face and he's like, "Fooey," and one of the interns goes and says, "Oh, they're down bad. They can't find anyone to fill this role." And then it goes out to the Hollywood Reporter. I don't know, but it's out, and I also don't know what this means, because I mean, Chris Evans, for example, I don't think he wasn't the name that he is now. Captain America really sent Chris Evans into a different kind of space that he was occupying before. Robert Downey Jr. was famous, but he wasn't nuclear $50 million no matter whatever he's in type of famous. He was coming off scandals. He was not that. So I don't... Maybe you need Johnny Depp. Let's get Johnny Depp in here or something. I don't know. Like, make a good movie. I don't think the actor matters.
And I think, like, they have... like, they have Iman Vellani. She's fine. Tom Holland. Yeah. Simu Liu is great as Shang-Chi. Like, they have a cast, like they just have to look right in front of them, I feel like.
They just have to make the movie. Just make Shang-Chi 2.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah, if you want somebody to be as big as Captain America or Iron Man, you have to actually put them in more movies. You can't just put them in one movie and then tease a post-credit scene that's going to happen in 15 years.
Or just not happen at all.
Yeah.
But don't worry. Exactly. At least we get Roy Kent as Hercules.
They got Charlize Theron to be in the MCU and then put her in one post-credit scene and then she just fucked off.
Yeah. Maybe she shows up in Avengers. Why do I care?
But we'd have if she shows up in Avengers, I'd be like, I have no attachment to this lady. Like, why do I care? Why do I care that she's here?
For real, like, they're not going to make Doctor Strange 3 before Avengers. They never were. So why did they do that? I don't get it. I don't understand why they tease the next film in the series in that film. Like, they, unless you have the sequel announced, tease something else that you're actually going to show us.
Yeah.
Like, don't just put feelers out like, oh, if there's a large perception to this, maybe we'll make it. No, actually tease something. So I'm not just waiting for no reason.
Yeah. Like the perfect, like the phase two, post-credit scenes where like it cut to something, didn't have anything to do with the movie. It was like, oh, we're just in the collector's place now. Oh, there's the characters that we know from Thor. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen to this. In the next movie, you're like, oh, here's the dude that we saw in the last movie. That's crazy. And I just feel like they lost something along the way that, like, they just lost the sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they lost what made their universe, like, good in terms of developing characters and
interconnectivity and stuff.
Yeah, what made the interconnectivity fun. They lost that. And maybe that's what, you know, DC is trying to do, is trying to get that interconnectivity back. And I think that's what Marvel needs to be focusing on. But it seems like they're focusing on the wrong things, thinking that it's an issue with the characters and the actors rather than an issue with the way their stories have been structured over the last 5 years, which I think is maybe more to blame. We're just getting into some news now. The Purge 6, they've made 5 Purge films, I guess. I knew they made like 3, but 5 is news to me. Purge 6 script is done. Just letting you know. It's going to be the final film in the franchise. But
will it be?
It probably won't be. If it makes money, there's no way they're going to just stop making Purge movies. They're probably pretty cheap and it's marketable, easy.
Yeah.
The budget, or they'll just do a reboot. It's like they did do the first Purge. Just do the first Purge again. I don't know. Vin Diesel confirms Fast and Furious franchise is ending, reaffirming the next sequel will be the end for the mainline franchise. No, it won't.
Does that mean... okay. All right.
I've heard Fast and Furious has been ending for 10 years now. Until
just at the premiere of the last one, he was like, this is going to be a 3-parter. But now he's saying that the next one's going to be the end?
Until Vin Diesel is 6 feet in the ground, there will be Fast and Furious movies. And that's just the way it is. The budget for Ridley Scott's Gladiator 2 reportedly ballooned from $165 million to $310 million. So that's a hefty budget. And speaking of budgets, Joker 2 has a budget of $200 million,
yep.
With the first film only having a budget of $60 million. So Warner Brothers, they're putting a lot of faith into Joker 2. And I don't know.
I bet they probably also had to cough up some money for Lady Gaga and Joaquin Phoenix to come back, because I'm pretty sure he probably didn't want to come back after the... I mean, not that he didn't want to come back, but I'm probably sure that he didn't imagine he would come back for a second one after the first one, you know?
I don't think it was ever pitched to be like a franchise film ever to him. So he definitely gave out some coin. And Lionsgate is looking to do a modern remake of American Psycho. plus DC animated film based on the Jurassic League is in the works that James Gunn is producing. So I imagine that would be part of the DCU, but it's rumored dinosaurs doing dinosaur stuff.
Set in Jurassic era. That would be kind of sick.
Yeah. Sounds fire. Might just be a kid's thing, but you could do vague references to the overall universe without doing too much. And then Blade, it's still Blade. They're still blading, despite the rumors that they won't be blading. They're still blading. So Marvel Studios still doing Blade. So still Blade.
Yep.
And that's Marvel. But I was kind of curious of the other fictional universes that kind of exist in the present, like the interconnected, and just seeing how many are still alive. So I'm going to go through this Wikipedia page, and there's some that I've never even heard of, some that I can't even click on the universe. Like, it doesn't have a Wikipedia page, but it's been going on since 1971. I think it's a Japanese TV show called Metal Hero. Apparently, same continuity since 1971. There's one that started in 1979 that includes the recent film Megan. Did you watch Megan?
M3gan? No, I didn't watch it.
Yeah. I watched Megan. It was really good, but apparently that's in the same universe as Twin Peaks, Child's Play, Nightmare on Elm Street, Evil Dead, Friday the 13th, and the Amity Horror. So that started in 1979, and I guess all of the connecting characters, same universe. I knew Freddy vs. Jason was like a thing. I didn't know Chucky was in that same universe, and Twin Peaks was in that same universe, so that's news to me. I also didn't know Casper and Ghostbusters were in the same universe, but apparently, according to Wikipedia, I'm guessing they've had like cartoon crossovers. I don't know if that necessarily means that they're in the same universe, but they're claiming it to be, so I'm rolling with it. There's the Miyagi-verse with the Karate Kid films, and Cobra Kai been going on since 1984.
Have we talked about the new Karate Kid movie that's coming out?
I don't think we have. What's been going on with that?
They're bringing back, right? They're bringing back Ralph Macchio, the original Karate Kid, but they're getting getting Jackie Chan to play Mr. Miyagi from the Jaden Smith version.
Aha.
So what's going on there? Who knows? I think it's just like a super weird choice to get two of the roles from two different movies.
Yeah, like to intentionally try to have continuity, but just no continuity at all at the same time.
Yeah,
it's interesting, but it is also Jackie Chan.
Yeah,
so fair enough. In terms of putting like his name on something.
Yeah.
The Reservoir Dogs universe, which included the Pulp Fiction True Romance that apparently ended in 2012. There's the Jay and Silent Bob universe that's been going on that includes Scream. Been going on since 1994. Still going on. The From Dusk Till Dawn universe. This is wild. This is the Spy Kids universe, right?
Damn.
But I always assume that the Spy Kids universe included Sharkboy and Lava Girl. It doesn't.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read you the list here. It's From Dusk Till Dawn, Spy Kids, Machete, Machete Kills, Death Proof, Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2, Curdled and Planet Terror. But this one has an end date of 2023, so I guess it ended.
No. Was there a Spy Kids? Yeah, there was a Spy Kids movie that just came out.
So that Spy Kids movie ended the whole universe, I guess?
I guess so, yeah.
Put a nice conclusion to Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2.
I had a dream one time where I was watching a new Spy Kids movie, and all of a sudden Sky High, all the characters of Sky High showed up, and Sharkboy and Lava Girl, and I was like, oh my god, this is the best.
Dude, like, they need to do like an end game for that.
Yeah.
Where we can, I'd be fine if it was animated, because I want them to look like they should look.
Yeah.
So give me like an animated Spy Kid, Sharkboy, Lava Girl. I know that there's different studios at that point, but let's get all the
Who cares?
Forgotten characters. I'm shook that throughout all this we haven't gotten like a Sky High thing.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
I was expecting a Disney Plus series when Disney Plus was released.
Really?
I feel like that's just like a new generation of Sky High. That shit would be sick.
All we have is Gen V instead.
Yeah.
The Matrix universe that is still going on, 1999 to present. Do Alien vs. Predator, which apparently was its own confined universe that ran from 2004 to 2007. The Marvel Cinematic Universe that started in 2008. There's a bunch of cop universes for foreign, like, cop films that are apparently all interconnected. There's the DC EU, which they claim ended in 2013. There's the MonsterVerse that is the maybe most successful one with Godzilla and King Kong, as well as all the other films that kind of take that up. And then Sony's Spider-Man universe, including Venom, Morbius, Madame Web, which has been talked about a lot in the past week. There's the Sonic, the Hedgehog cinematic universe, which probably the best cinematic universe, the Hanna-Barbera cinematic universe. And those are all the ones I recognize. So maybe not as many as you'd expect going on right now. There's common origin ones that have like a similar origin, and then they loosely connect groups. But I kind of disagree with this, because they're saying the loosely connected ones are the Despicable Me and Minions, which I think is a lot more connected than some of the other ones I was reading.
What?
Like, on this list is the Star Wars universe. I feel like these are better. These, like, the Cars universe, Despicable Me, the Conjuring universe, the Lego universe.
Those are all just sequels.
Yeah, true. But true. But the Rocky universe.
Yeah.
Rocky and Creed, that's the cinematic universe. Can't tell me otherwise. But I think that's obviously there's the television ones with Avatar and whole another list that you go down going down TV shows. But current state of things, I think the trend of everything wanting to be a cinematic universe is kind of over. Seems like that has ran its course through history. I think that's kind of how you'll define the 2010s in terms of box office, big budget movies. It was cinematic universes. And then in the 2020s, they're still trying to find their footing. And that's nowhere more evident than when you look at the 2024 world box office. So I don't know if you've had the chance to look at this, Trent, but it's pretty comical.
Yeah, hold on, let me see if I can. Yeah, I did look at it. It's pretty crazy. Top five.
And granted, no films have really come out.
Yeah,
and that
we're only
this
2 months
is a
year.
Yeah, this is a result of like the actor's strike, and the writer's strike pushed a lot of films back. But it's just wild to see a movie with a worldwide like box office of $144 million is like the top grossing thing, when we were talking about things being massive flops if they didn't like go over $400 million or $500 million. Granted, budgets involved and stuff, but
yeah,
some wild stuff. As Madam Web is in the top five currently.
Yeah, that could. I saw a lot of people. I feel like a lot of people just think it's like a Spider-Man movie, you know. So I feel like that alone carries a lot of the Sony, a lot of the Sony movies. But there is a lot of talk on the internet about it, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that are just like, I gotta go see how bad this truly is.
So I'm hearing a lot of better reception for Madam Web than I did
first week.
Well, than I did for Morbius, and not in the sense that it's a better movie, but just in the sense that it's a funnier movie, like so bad it's good type thing. I didn't get the same reception towards Morbius. Everyone was like, I know it's a meme, don't see it, it's not good, it's not entertaining, it's just a bad movie, don't watch it, is all I ever heard about Morbius. But Madam Web, I hear, like, it is absolutely worth a watch. It is entertaining through and through. It's completely nonsensical and just misses on basic filmmaking aspects. And for that reason, like, it's been recommended a lot more from, like, people that I listen to than, you know, Morbius ever was. So maybe there is something to that, and you'll see, like, this be the highest grossing film of the year, which it's on pace to be, I think.
Yeah, we'll
until
we'll
March 1st.
That. Yeah, until Dune comes out. I don't know. I think that as the year goes on, we'll get more animated movies. I think Kung Fu Panda 4 definitely going to beat that. I can't imagine it being in the top 10. At the end of the year.
Madam Web?
Yeah, Madam Web.
I almost want to I'll take you up on that bet. I think at the end of the year it'll be like at 10. Just cuz like from what I've seen, it's at about 50 million right now. I think it's probably going to do about 180 to 200 million, and from what we're seeing, like 200 million I think gets you in the top 10 this year. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Morbius was number 29, and it made 167.
But there's going to be a lot less movies this year.
It's true.
So I think I'm probably going to be wrong about this, but I think it's going to be right at 10. Right at 10 or 12, 10 to 12 range. You're going to see Madam Web. I think it's going to have legs. No, it's not. There's no way.
I
got to
go watch every other movie to make sure Madam Web doesn't... single-handedly make sure
Madam Web 45 times. I'm like that picture with the guy taking a picture with Brie Larson. This guy's seen Madam Web 248 times.
Just like I saw Madam Web 50 times.
Also, a thing being talked about right now. That's one of the weakest segues of all time. Also a thing that I was planning on talking about. Avatar The Last Airbender. They're doing a live action like series remake. These are all the rage right now. And there's a bit of controversy as they are going to be removing, I believe it's pronounced Sokka. I haven't watched the show in 5 plus years. I've rewatched it like in my early adulthood for some reason.
I watched it for the first time last year.
Oh, okay. Nice, nice. So when it comes to his character, pretty famously, he was the... aggressively horny a little bit. He was just always like, I'm trying to bang, like, you hot, like, yeah. Just like behavior that was very common in like the Johnny Bravo era of like cartoons. Brock from the Pokemon anime is another one that is just like so tuned into my brain. And there's some outrage about this, and I think it's actually justified. Normally when there's outrage about these things, I'm like, okay, but like, we can't make him a flaming rapist. Like, it's been, you know, 60 years. That's not something that we could put in the show, you know? Yeah. Not saying he was, so just a general thing. Not a storyline in The Last Airbender at all.
That's so, a clip we gotta use.
So, like, I'm normally like, things have to adapt, and if you're making an adaptation, you do want to adapt it for modern audiences. However, I think that it's a lesson that he learned, and maybe you could speed that lesson up to make it an arc in the first like two episodes to show it's not okay. But that was like his whole arc. I just don't understand what his arc is anymore.
Yeah. Not only his arc, but I felt like that was like a big underlying theme of the show, and like a part of the reason why I think like Avatar is so like well beloved is because you can like watch it when you're older and like kind of see like the kind of messages and meanings behind stuff that they were trying to get at, in like in the animated show that doesn't really translate if you're watching as like a kid, but like there is like more meaning to a lot of the story arcs in the show, and by taking that out, I think that you're just like minimizing not only his arc but just like underlying themes and storylines that like could be, that could mean like something to people, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think that like in particular that lesson is something that isn't talked about as much. It's more like kind of pushed to the side because, you know, it's not as prominent in today's culture, but I think you could definitely make an argument that it's something that needs to be shown for modern audiences to like, hey, this behavior, like it exists. We don't have to pretend like that kind of behavior and those kind of people don't exist, but paint them in a negative light like he was in the original show. So I don't, it kind of a bummer, and definitely comes off like an executive watched the first like five episodes of the show and was like, hey, we can't do this. Hey, this is not going to play well. We can't do this one. So we'll see. I think it'll probably be good, at least better than the M. Night Shyamalan. I'm still like thinking back to that. Why was M. Night Shyamalan picked to be the director of the Last Airbender films? Like, it really makes no sense on paper.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense.
So I don't know. I wasn't the decision maker at that time, nor am I now. So I don't know, man. But I think that's what we got for our slate. We're going to be talking about our no negotiation recommendations next week. So that will be Argo and Freaky. Mm-hmm. Unless you watch Freaky?
Yeah, I did. I can go ahead and get that review right now.
Yeah, why don't we just take it away with Freaky and then we go.
So I hadn't heard of this movie before. You told me it was like a Freaky Friday situation. So
it's a Freaky Friday.
I actually went back, watched Freaky Friday, the original one, and then I watched Freaky, did a little double feature, and
nice.
I really liked it. Vince Vaughn, I thought was really funny in it. He playing like a character that I'd never really seen him play before. I guess he's just talking in like a high pitched voice the whole time because he has to talk has to imitate Catherine Newton. But I thought that was really good. Vince Vaughn is it's a great actor. Love him and everything. There was some funny similarities, I think, between Freaky Friday and Freaky. Both characters have a passed away dad, and they're living with their mom and their sibling. But they also both have a teacher who just like unabashedly hates them for no reason. So I thought that was just like some funny similarities that they didn't really like. They're not as prominent as they are in the older movies, like those plot points. But I thought it was funny how they included them. But yeah, there was some interesting like there's some cool death scenes in it. Like specifically when she there's like a scene where she like puts somebody on a table saw and saws in half. That was pretty gruesome. But no, I enjoyed it. The best scene though was when the main girl is trapped inside Vince Vaughn's body and he's talking to this guy and he's like I really want to kiss you right now, and she's like you want to kiss me in this body, and he's like yeah, it doesn't matter what you look like. And so like this dude kisses Vince Vaughn and it was really funny. I laughed pretty hard.
Yeah, no, it's like slightly uncomfortable because he's like, it's like Vince Vaughn kissing this guy who I just looked, he's 26 years old. Yeah. At the time of making this movie is 2020, he was like 22, but he looks like he's 16. And yeah, it just looks like this 16 year old kid just like kissing Vince Vaughn. It is so funny. Normally yeah, normally stuff like that I don't laugh at, but just the energy of it is so strange. They just go so hard.
Yeah, just so so serious about it, and just like, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, so I definitely recommend if you're into it is like a thriller, but it's not like a horror. I guess it's a horror comedy.
I'd say it's like 30% of the movie is like a horror, gruesome horror, but then the rest is kind of like a comedy, like a dark comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's very akin to like if you've seen Happy Death Day, which is kind of Groundhog situation horror film. If you notice, they've been doing this. It's now Freaky Friday situation horror film, Groundhog Day situation horror film. Just remake a film, add a little bit of killing to it, put like a hot girl instead of a sweaty white guy in the role, and then you just make money. $40 million dollar budget, make a cool $300 million in the box office and just chill. But Catherine Newton, they talk about, oh, I hear Ant-Man has a daughter. She's 27, guys. Come on. Young Avengers, she was born in 1997. She's going to be 30 by the time the next Avengers film comes out.
Yeah.
We're talking about Young Avengers 4. Talking about post-credit scenes that are just never going to pay off.
Yeah.
You hear Ant-Man has a daughter?
It's just going to be the 90s all over again when it's just going to be 30-year-olds playing teenagers.
We've finally come full circle, yeah. And good for them. we got AI for a reason. DH on the spot. But you know, I think that's our show. We got a big news show, big speculation show, but I appreciate you guys sitting and relaxing with us on this morning, evening, afternoon, whenever you're listening to it. And thank you for subscribing as we finally cross that threshold. So appreciate it, and make sure you stay tuned. We got a bunch of stuff coming.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to leave a like. Make sure to leave a comment on this episode. And I'll see you guys next week.
See you.